Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. I know Carl already just said that, but it's just one of those things, like, I don't know. I texted the students last night and I said, hey, don't forget to tell your mom happy Mother's Day, because tomorrow is happy Mother's Day, but you should tell your mom that anyway. But I always feel like you got to remind people that it's Mother's Day or it's Father's Day. But there's this thing going around, and I say this thing, we actually kind of make fun of each other for it. It's called FOMO. I don't know if you ever heard this expression. It's called FOMO. It's just a little acronym that stands for fear of missing out. And so when people ask me, like, oh, when's this happening, or how'd that go, or this or that, and we kind of make fun of each other, especially like the college students, we talk about FOMO, fear of missing out, of what's going on in life. Because we as people just like to be around people. We like to just see what's going on. We like to be a part of the stories, the memories. Because if you've ever been around a group of people, and they start telling, like, things that a group of friends did, and you're like, well, I wasn't there, or I wasn't invited, and they kind of feel that left out feeling. Melina and I, who's one of the young adults here, we've known each other for 23 years. And so we have a lot of memories together, and sometimes my wife will be like, Christina will just say, like, stop telling stories that y'all know that no one else knows, because she feels left out of those stories, because she just doesn't know. And you see that a lot in different people. And I've always wondered, though, when we talk about this fear of missing out, do we have the fear of missing out of God's promises? And the reality of what Scripture is, of what Jesus has promised to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit, do we have the fear of missing out of His will? And the reality is, in American Christianity, probably not. Because we teach do rather than to be. We define success in the church doing a lot of things for Jesus rather than being with Jesus. And I think about this a lot, especially as a lot of guys talk to me about dating and wanting to get married, and they go, I have to go make more money to be a good provider. But in the midst of that, they forget to build up that relationship. They do so much that they forget to be with whoever they want to be with. And we do that with friends and family as well, but especially when it comes to God and Jesus in the Bible. And I think about this a lot as we go through the spiritual gifts, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would, go ahead and turn there. That's where we're hanging out today, as we have been. But I wonder about, do we miss out on these things because we're too busy doing things rather than being in them and being in Jesus and understanding what they are? That sometimes we put God in a box so we don't have to miss out on something because the expectation has been lowered to meet our own desires. So as we have been, I'm going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 12. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when we were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God, ever says that Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, and all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he being the Holy Spirit wills. So today we're actually going to continue our conversation. We're going to go to the gift of healing. If I can just have a confession with you, I was not real excited to talk about this, especially when I found out it was on Mother's Day. Jay was supposed to preach, and then he got asked to do a wedding, and then, you know, and it was a really cool spot, and we were like, absolutely, you should go. And then I was just like, oh, I'll teach. And I was like, yeah, sure, Mother's Day, not a big deal. I'll be here, no big deal. And they're like, it's on healing. And I went, not fun, not at all. Even if it was a Mother's Day, healing is a very sensitive topic when it comes to Scripture. Because healing is one of those things that all of us wish we could do. Right, if someone told me, hey, you can have wealth or the power to heal people, I'd be like, give me the power to heal people. Because money, again, goes away and I can find a job. But healing people is such a cool gift to give to somebody else. Just to think of, if you've ever been sick, it is miserable in that moment. But when you hit that day when everything's fine again and you're just like, yes, it's good. I'm not putting my head in a toilet, right? When you get over all that sickness, it just feels great. And so it's a very sensitive topic because it typically leads us to this question of our own faith. How are we living this out? When we see this happen in Scripture, why is it not happening today? And we have a lot of questions. And for me personally, it's very difficult on Mother's Day because 13 years ago, my mother passed away, and she was sick for such a long time, and we prayed for healing for such a long time. And there was a period where she was healed, and then it came back. And so it's one of those things that's such a sensitive topic, and it's just a very scary thing. But it's a good thing to speak about because the reality is we as believers, those of us who are following in Jesus Christ, will eventually be eternally healed no matter what. That though some people may be healed here temporarily, they will get sick again. They will die. But in that death, us as followers of Christ will be able to live in freedom in a perfect healing situation. So I often think of sometimes healing is in death. Though it is painful to say goodbye, it's also one of those things I will never forget when I went, my mom and I had a conversation, and she said, I'm scared to go because are you ready? And I went, I'm ready for you to go because you'll be fine. I knew where she was going. She knew where she was going. It wasn't no longer to be afraid of what was next, but to rejoice in the sense of everything is okay. That she doesn't have to go to the doctor. She doesn't have to worry about these certain things anymore. And so that's just a confession from a young pastor who's still just really learning how to work through some of these hard, difficult situations. And so it just brings fear, but luckily and thankfully the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks truth and not me. And so, and I think about this a lot. Francis Chan, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. I assume most people have. He was a mega pastor back in like the early 2000s, and he made a really big name. He wrote tons of books. And since then has actually left his church and went to Hong Kong to do ministry there. And 2 years ago, he had a sermon at this very big thing. I can't remember what it was called. And in about the middle of it, he brings this up, this passage comes up, what he's talking about, and you kind of see him like debating, like, do I talk about this, do I not talk about it? So he goes, I'm going to talk about healing. And he talks about something that the way I feel a lot. So you read this stuff in Scripture, and you're told, especially in the South, to take it literally, that this is the true inspired word of God. And so you start doing it, and then you ask these questions of things like healing of faith to move mountains, and people go, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. That's not for you. And you start getting this conflict of like, what is true and what's not? Is this real or is this hyperbole? And so I've always wondered, how do we talk about this speaking in tongues and healing and things of that nature? And honestly, you hear about it in other countries. My sister lived in Rwanda for 2 years, and she would talk about the spiritual warfare there, where people would pray over people and they would be healed. And you would see demonic activity, but also just see the power of God move in a different way that we don't see here in the States. And Francis Chan brings this up, where he felt this fear of missing out of who God was, because everywhere he went, he was always just a day late. And he never really truly understood what this looked like in the sense of 21st century just world, not even just America, but the world, where we actually hear this in other countries and we don't see it here. And the reality is, some of it is just our own lack of seeking them out. Because we just go, ah, it's not for us, it's not this or not that. And so it is a very difficult thing to continue through. But as we go through today, I'm going to make a couple arguments about why healing, and even as we get to the gift of tongues and things of that nature, we'll get an argument more at this later. But there's two sides of this story. There's these, and I'm going to use big words, and I'll explain them. And these big words are funny words to me because they just don't sound like good English grammar, but I guess English doesn't have very good grammar anyway, so we're just going to ignore that. There's this group of people that we call sensationist, and just basically they believe that certain gifts have ceased. They no longer are in existence, that they were there for Jesus and the apostles, and that was it. Those people are called sensationist, okay? They just believe that certain gifts have ceased. And there's another group of people, and they have a terrible name that doesn't make a lot of sense, called continualist or continuationist.
Because when you have one side, you have to have another side. Otherwise, you're arguing for no reason. But people love to argue for whatever reason. But these people are the ones who are saying, no, these gifts continue. These gifts are still happening today. They're still true. They're still real. And within these two different groups, just as in denominations, there's varying different belief systems, okay? Where some people go, we believe these gifts have ceased, but these have not. We believe all gifts have ceased, and these have. And so there's a bunch of different levels there. And so if you want to follow those camps, not in a rude way, I don't really care. Because the reality is God's going to do what he's going to do. And so the first thing I want to talk about is we as believers need to stop putting God in a box. Because the reality, when we talk about a lot of things, we put God in this box and we say, God can't do this, or God will no longer do this, or why would he do this? Especially when it comes to healings, right? There's a lot of people who believe that Christians just don't get sick. Like if a Christian gets sick, it's because of sin in their lives, which is really funny because we see that actually in Jesus' lifetime when the disciples come, hey, did this man get sick because of his own sin or because of his parents' sin? And Jesus kind of just looks at him and just goes, neither, but for my glory, because I'm going to heal him. And so sometimes people get that mistaken. And some Christians even say, I don't need a doctor, I just need prayer. Where, I'm going to be very honest with you, doctors are a gift. Because I don't know about you, sometimes when doctors talk, I go, use a lot of words I don't understand, make me feel better. That's all I care about right now. And that's their job. And we're very thankful for that. And again, like I said a minute ago, some people just say that it's just for Jesus and the apostles. And we're actually going to look at Jesus' life, and we're going to look at the life of Paul and see how some of that is, how those things play out. Some people, and especially I'll say in the like charismatic movement, people say it's for these higher people. And when you look at Scripture as a whole, because you'll probably hear us a lot if you kind of dig into it, people like to call themselves these higher people. When the reality is we all have a gift of some shape or form. Just because I'm up here or Pastor Liam's up here or Pastor Jay's up here doesn't make us better than anybody else. Just because the Lord may have given you a gift of whatever it may be doesn't make you higher than anybody else. But we're to come together and use those gifts as a team to better the body of Christ, to show the rest of the world what the Lord has used us and made us for. So don't get caught up when people say, oh, it's for these higher people. And another interesting thing when I say don't put God in a box, in most of your Bibles, because I looked this up, I looked at, I think, like 20-something translations. It says it is the gifts. This is the one time it uses a plural for the word gifts. And it says of healing. That is actually a bad translation. It should say gifts of healings. This is where, again, my nerdy Greekness came in and was looking up the word. It's actually a plural word. So it should be gifts of healings rather than gift of healings. And that's a very important distinction. Because so often when we take things as literal sometimes, we just read the English translation and we go, oh, this is what it means, black and white, we move on with our life. We miss this aspect of there's a different style and different things and it can look various ways. Sometimes healings, right? I was talking to one of my friends yesterday. What some medicine can do for some people, right? Sometimes a medicine can make a person very well, where if you give me penicillin, it's going to make me very sick. Though it may heal somebody else, it's going to make me bedridden and throw up my guts. And we don't want that. It's a bad thing. And so sometimes healing looks a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's just a change of diet. Just changing your diet alone can do a lot of healing. Rather than, hey, you need this shot, right? I used to be a little bit heavier, and my knees were not my friends. And I was like, hey, can I get surgery? And my doctor was like, or you could just change how you eat. And just losing some of that weight took a lot of pressure off my knees, and now my knees don't hurt quite as bad. They still hurt, but not quite as bad. And so these things look very different. So don't put God in this box to match your own thoughts. If you can explain God perfectly, you don't know God. Okay? I don't know if you know this, when people are like, well, God is just far, like I've heard people tell me all the time, God, if your God is just too unknown. Like, yeah, that's the point. Like, if I can explain him perfectly to you, then I don't know God. God himself describes himself as indescribable, which is kind of weird, but that's how he describes himself. You can't know me fully because we are in sin. When he tells Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, he tells that quite often, actually, and I go, well, that doesn't make sense because he understands what's going to happen later, where we only know what's happening right now. We can guess about later, but we don't know. So stop putting God in a box. And I say that stop putting not just you, but to myself, because even this week, I sit there and talk to Aline just quite often about, like, this is how it should work. And he's like, "That stop. That's not how that works. You don't know X, Y, Z." And I'm sure most of you can feel this, where you go, this is my five-year plan, because for some reason we're all about those five-year plans. I'm going to say 5 years, I'm gonna do this, this, and this, and this, right? I told myself when I was 20 that when I hit 30, which is coming up for me, that I was going to have a new house, a truck, and have a kid. Well, I got a new house, but I don't got the other two, and I don't know if that's going to happen. And I learned that's okay. I told myself I was going to be out of Texas, where now I'm like, I don't want to leave Texas. I can't handle the cold. I like the heat. Let's just stay here forever. So when we look at this healing, I said one of the fears is when it comes to the question of faith and healing. So if you would, just think about who Jesus is for a minute and how many miracles he's done. 28 of those times that we read about miracles is about healing. Healing of sickness, 5 to 6 times. I lost count. I'm terrible with math. 5 or 6 times he talks about healing from demon possession. And there's 3 times where he talks about raising someone from the dead. 4 if you include himself, okay? So healing is a large part of Jesus' ministry in those 3 years, okay? But a lot of those times, the idea of faith comes up. The idea and the result of faith is a part of that conversation. So we're going to hop around because I got time and I like hopping around scripture in this instance. So turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. I try to keep them, some of these stories were relatively in the same area and I was trying to keep in the same place and that didn't work, so I do apologize. But Matthew chapter 5, or chapter 8, I'm sorry, verse 5. We see this, it says watch your time. I was telling myself to watch my time. That's my bad. Sorry. That was supposed to be in there. So I was trying to make sure, because I got a lot to read. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the centurion's faith in Matthew chapter 8, so verse 5 through 13. Thanks, Sherry. So we're going to read verses 5 through 13. And this is actually one of my favorite stories, because it shows a right understanding. It shows a right understanding of, one, who the person is, but who Jesus is. Because a centurion speaks truth about himself, but also about Jesus. So verse 5, it says this. It says, when he had entered into Capernaum, a centurion, who is a very high-ranking military personnel, came forward to him and appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home and suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say a word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the centurion said, and to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. I love that story because the centurion, understanding who Jesus is, goes, you don't have to come. Because he remembered and has heard about his truth. Because at this point, Jesus has already done a few different things. He's already done a few miracles and goes, you don't have to come. You just have to speak it. You just have to speak healing and you have the power. And part of the reason why I love this story is because a lot of times when things start going wrong and we ask Jesus why or what, we forget about everything in the past that Jesus has done. We forget that Jesus has brought us out of our own sin, that has saved us from eternal punishment, that I'll say from my sake has brought me out of a lifestyle of drugs and other different situations. Where the centurion goes, I've heard these things and I've seen them. And so I'm not worried about if you can do them. I know you can. You just have to speak it. And for that reason, Jesus says, man, this guy's faith, there's no faith like it. There's no faith like it. And then in Luke chapter 8, this will be on the screen. You don't need to turn there. Verses 43 through 48. You've probably heard the story of the woman who sought out doctors for years and years and years, and because she was just bleeding so much, and no one can ever help her. And so Jesus comes into the town. I won't read it all. I'll just give you the summary. And so Jesus comes into town, and she just sees him. She goes, "If I can just touch him. I don't need him to acknowledge me. I don't need him to understand me, but if I can just touch him, I know I can be healed." And so she fights through the crowd, and when she does that, she grabs his garment, and Jesus just stops and goes, "Somebody touched me." And honestly, like, people like to make fun of the disciples at this moment when they're like, "Well, duh, there's hundreds of people following us and pushing you over. Of course somebody touched you." And people like to make fun of the disciples for that, which, I mean, honestly, if we're in a giant crowd and people go, "Oh, somebody touched you." Well, yeah, look at everybody around. And he goes, no. Power left me because of somebody's faith. This woman was like, I don't need him to talk to me. I've heard the truth. And she did not wait for it to come, but she fought to it. She didn't let things get in her way. Do we fight for that same truth? Do we have that same confidence as this woman going like, no one else can help me except for Jesus, and I'm willing to fight through what I need to do to get there? Do we have that same faith? I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like this man in Mark chapter 9 who has a son, and his entire life he has seizures, and he's demon-possessed, and he goes to Jesus. And he talks to him for a little bit and says, "Jesus, if you could heal him." And that one little word, just, it kind of makes Jesus mad. He goes, "What do you mean, if? Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Have you not walked with me? If, but all things are possible through Jesus. All things are possible through God." And he heals this boy from his demon possession. And what's funny is that last thing that man says is, "Go, Lord, help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Help me to understand you more. Because right now, I admit to you, I'm doubting. And I'm doubting that I can be healed, that my son can be healed, that I can be brought through this pain." And if I'm honest with you, this week, I kind of felt that way. I even told Pastor Aleem on, I think it was Wednesday, we sat down and had a conversation. And I was like, "Man, I'm hurting. And if there's any way I could pass this off, I want to." But the Lord just kept saying, "Trust me. Because not the power in me. It's not the power I have. It's the power that's given by the Holy Spirit to come and speak truth. That does the healing. That brings the faith." And so when we say, "Lord, help me my unbelief," he's there to help in that unbelief. Because the Lord has been faithful over and over and over again. And if we look at the life of Paul, people love to talk about the life of Paul when it comes to healing. And there's actually four instances where Paul does actually heal someone. The first is a crippled man in Lystra in Acts chapter 14, verse 10. He heals a lot of people in Ephesus, which is always kind of a funny story because basically they take a piece of his cloak and they just start like hitting people with it. I don't know if that's exactly what they're doing, but in my head, that's what they're doing, just smacking people with it, and they're healing them all over the place. But that's in Galatians chapter 4, or in Acts chapter 19, I'm sorry. He heals a girl who's possessed by demons in Acts chapter 16. And the last guy, I'm not even going to try to say his name, because even when I look it up and I have like the little button that says pronounce the name for you and I click it, it's always different names. I think it's Eutychus. I don't know. But he fell out of a window during one of Paul's sermons and died. And part of me kind of feels like, well, Paul, you should definitely heal that guy. You were so boring. He fell asleep out of during your sermon and fell out a window and died. Like, I feel like you owe him. So if you fall asleep during one of my sermons and fall out of your chair, you'll be fine. You're not in a window. But so we see these different instances where Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, goes and heals somebody for different reasons. But there's five times where we get recorded of Paul not being able to heal someone. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the thorn in his side. And a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts on that. I'm not going to get into it. There's about a million different things. You can go look it up for yourself. And you can probably make a guess, and it's going to be as good as anybody else's guess. Okay, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 9, he actually prays three times to the Lord. Three times he spends time in prayer focused on this thorn in his side, whatever it may be. And yet the Lord does not remove it. There's a lot of different sicknesses going around in Galatia that he cannot heal. When he talks to Timothy about Timothy's stomach problems, you would assume he would probably pray over him and ask for healing, but he ends up saying, like, you still have these stomach problems. Drink a little wine for your stomach. We would talk about Epaphroditus who has a life-threatening illness in the book of Philippians, and he's just saying, please continue to pray for him. And then Trophimus, and his sickness in 2 Timothy, he still calls his people to pray for him. And so you see these different examples of different aspects of this prayer, of the prayer of healing, where a lot of people go, we see it in certain people, I'm not going to say names, where they will hit people on the head and heal them, and it works every time, which I'm not going to lie to you, this sounds terrible, but I've always wanted to get really sick and then go to them and let him hit me in the head just to see what would happen. Because, hey, if I could be wrong. I admit that. But you see people misuse and abuse this idea of being able to heal. Because they're like, I can do it on command. I have the power. When the reality is, even when you look at Scripture, that's not the case. Because even when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, or even at the end of chapter 12, I'm sorry, in verse 9, it says, as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills, these gifts are given and used. So we pray for healing, and we can lay hands, and sometimes that might happen. Sometimes that may happen later. Sometimes that may happen in death. And I think, again, back to this conversation Francis Chan had, he kind of went, man, the first time that I ever was a part of somebody being healed, I was just freaked out. And I went, that doesn't happen. But at the same time, he's like, I just couldn't stop. I wanted to see more. But even he says he experiences of the times where the Lord is faithful in those moments, and when the Lord is faithful in a different way, where it may not be that immediate result that we seek. And I'll admit, some of that has to do with our desire for immediate result, right? If we goof off all the time, and when in doubt, I just say, hey, Siri, tell me what I need to do, and Siri says, here's the answer to your problem. We're so used to that immediate gratification that when we don't see the long-term gain, we forget to be thankful at all. We forget that there's a purpose behind these things at all. So one of the big questions that we ask today is, how does this affect us? What are we as Connect Church in 2021, how do we live out this aspect of healing and the gift of healing? So James chapter 5 says this. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. So again, this goes back to the idea of we hear this a lot in Scripture. But typically, people go, that will happen then. So this is my fifth year at Connect Church. And I grew up in a very conservative background within the church. And I'll never forget the first time that I was going through the book of James with the high school students. And at the time, the worship minister had, she had cancer at one point, and then it went away, and it was coming back, and she was very fearful. And during a sermon, I was in backstage. Jay and the other elders came up and lived this out. They came up, anointed her with oil, and prayed over her. And when she went to the doctor, it was gone. Where the week before, they were very nervous about all the life change that was about to happen because the cancer was back. But the church lived out what the Lord had called them to do. The elders came, laid hands, and anointed with oil, and she was healed. So don't tell me that this is not still happening today. So don't tell me that God has stopped doing something that he had promised. And that he had actually called us to do, right? 1 Corinthians 14, it says, seek out and practice these things. But before that, he even says, do it in love. So in the midst of love, these actions still happen. Do they happen every time? No. And that is not your responsibility. Here's the thing that we've got to stop. We got to stop doing. We got to stop carrying the weight. We are to do what the Lord has called us to do. We are to walk with the Lord. And when he says pray, you pray. You be faithful in that way. We be faithful in that way. And the Lord does what he wills. Your responsibility is not to be the healer. That's the Holy Spirit. Your responsibility is not to provide salvation, but to have the conversation. Because that's the Holy Spirit that provides salvation. Your responsibility is to be a follower of Christ. Because when we're with him, we get to see the things he does. That's part of why discipleship is not this, hey, we meet up, we read the book, and we move on. He says, come. Come with me. Come do the things I do. Come see the things I see. That's why Jesus doesn't say, hey, disciples, here's the facts, here's the five steps, and you move on. He says, come, follow me for years. And when he even leaves in Matthew 28, he says, for a lifetime. But we also have to be aware of what's around us. Every major writer of the New Testament actually brings up healing and different gifts in a fearful way. Jesus in Matthew 24, Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, John in Revelation 13, those are just three different little instances where it says, beware and test the spirits, for the devil will misuse and abuse these things. So though sometimes people may be healed, sometimes they're used to proclaim someone else's name. And here's the reality. There's one way to test the spirit. Who is it for? Who is it glorifying? Is it glorifying somebody or is it glorifying God? Because on that day, if the elders went, look how great we are, failure. But they go, look at the miraculous power of God, that's a win. If we do things out of selfish desire, it is nothing but a waste. But those things done in the love of God, seeking to glorify his name, those things are done well. It's the same way when we speak truth to someone. You can speak truth, but if it's not spoken truth in love, it doesn't matter. If you just yell and put down and break down somebody, it doesn't matter if you are correct or not. It's just noisy gongs. So it is good to desire these gifts. The gifts of healing. It's good to seek it out and to understand it and pray for it even. In fact, I know some people in here probably are upset that I'm saying these things. But if I said, hey, when XYZ, this person over here is sick, are you going to pray for them? They go, absolutely. And you expect Jesus to heal them? Absolutely. Then you are seeking the gift of healing. Don't be scared to seek out the Lord on hard things. Because God is bigger than your fear. God is bigger than my fear. He knows
what is going to happen. Nothing surprises him. And the Lord even tells us to come seek after him, to desire these things to happen in his name for his glorification, not our own, though. Fight the battle of selfishness in these things. So as we get ready to end and the band comes back up, if you've heard nothing else today, I hope you heard this, that one day you who are a follower of Jesus Christ will one day be eternally healed. One day we will not have to worry about going to the doctor, your bad knees, your bad back, your headaches, getting old. We will be eternally healed, walking with the Lord forever. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness. But for those of you who are so asking questions or don't believe in Jesus or even wondering if this is true, talk to somebody, because this offer is not for some but for all. Jesus did not die for some, but he died so that the whole world would be saved. And all you have to do is come be. Jesus already paid the debt. He paid the price. But he's saying, come follow. Come walk. Come be with me. Because it is a free gift of grace. And I hear people tell me, I'm not ready. I'm not right. I don't have the time. Don't make excuses. The Lord is just saying, come, follow, be with me, and I will take care of you. In your busyness, I will give you rest. Do I promise that it'll make everything better? Absolutely not. Sometimes on this earth, following Jesus is very difficult. But stop thinking in such short little segments of life. But think eternally. Even Paul says, if I lose this life, I gain Christ. By looking at this in its temporary truth, I get the ultimate truth and get peace and resurrection and hope and joy that's everlasting and not just temporary. That I'm not looking for my next fix, but I have an eternal security. So may that truth be known to you. God, as we come before you, God, we ask for your life change. That Holy Spirit, you would come and speak to us, that we'd hear your words be made clear. God, may we seek out your gifts and your words and your actions, the things that you've called us to do. God, not in fear, but in faith, knowing that you are in control. Knowing that you have given us your Holy Spirit. God, that you've given us a body of believers to do life with, to strengthen us. God, we thank you in your mercy, God. We thank you for just being able to see your good gifts. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.